بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى. سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. At night, after the Isha Salah, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to generally have majalis regarding remembrance of death, muraqabah-e maut. And we had mentioned in the beginning of Ramadan that inshallah we will basically be revising those same lessons which Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had taught us. And many of the brothers were not present for those lessons, therefore we'll be repeating some of those initial lessons. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that as a Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, when he was in his final i'tikaf in Stanger, when he was about to leave South Africa, then the ulama-i kiram, the mashayikh, and the scholars and the pious people all gathered around him and they asked him for some parting advice, some final nasiha and advice. So on that occasion, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali gave two advices to the ulama-i kiram, the mashayikh, and those people who were present. And he mentioned that, remember your death in abundance. In other words, make excessive muraqabah maut and always stay occupied in the dhikr of Allah. So Hazrat Rahmatullah then explained this and he said that this staying occupied in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that a person will be sitting with a tasbih or reciting subhanallah, alhamdulillah the entire day. But in fact, what it actually means is that a person will always be conscious of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will always be aware and ponder that which command and which hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused on him on any particular moment. In other words, if this person has to make salah, if it is the time for salah, then he will immediately hasten and engage himself in fulfilling this great command of salah. And if it is the time for the tilawat of Quran Sharif, then he will engage himself in the tilawat of Quran Sharif. And if it is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now he must, you know, go out and earn a livelihood, then he will fulfill this obligation which is upon him. And in the same way we can continue elaborating, if it is the time for him to make khidmah for his parents, or to see to the needs of the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, or to fulfill the rights of his wife and his children, then he will fulfill this because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person will be always occupied in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he also mentioned that always remain, you know, make excessive remembrance, remember your death excessively. And this in fact is actually derived from the Quran, from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein we are exhorted and we are reminded to continuously remember death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously reminds us that one day we will have to taste death and every soul shall taste death. And when this death comes upon a person, the person will not get another opportunity to do those good actions. So we find our mashayikh, they would make a habit of of remembering death in different ways. Some of them would recite couplets, some of them would make muraqabah, they would contemplate, they would ponder over how this death would come upon them, and how they would, you know, what would happen to them. And the reason for this is that when a person remembers his death, then this person will not be heedless. He will not do such actions that if the angel of death has to strike at that moment, then it will be humiliation and it will embarrass an embarrassment for him. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says, in today's times, in actual fact, we are supposed to be, you know, staying away from sins out of the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because we do not have that kind of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, if he loves somebody, then he does not want to displease the beloved. But because we do not have that kind of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not have that kind of affection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore we find that we are not being restrained from displeasing that kind, that merciful Allah. So therefore, if we contemplate and we think and we say that how Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always remind us that what if the angel of death has to strike his sword at this moment when I am committing this sin, when I am hooked on this porn site, when I'm about to, you know, take these drugs, or when I'm about to look at these filthy pictures, or, you know, ogle at a particular haram woman, then what if the angel of death has to strike at this moment? What will be my condition, and what a humiliating death this will be? So then this becomes a break for him, a barrier for him from displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to recite the couplets of Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Ali, in which he mentions that ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, akhir maut hai. He said that remember, one day you will have to die. Do what you need to do, but remember that one day you will have to die. Now we find this, do what you need to do, because one day you will die. This is a statement which everybody is saying. The non-Muslims say the same thing, that do what you need to do now, because after all you are going to die. But they have a complete different perspective and they look at it at a completely different angle. What they say is that have as much fun as you want to have, enjoy as much entertainment as you wish to enjoy, you know, do as much haram as you want to, because you will not get another chance. But a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that do whatever you need to do in this world. In other words, do whatever good a'mal, whatever opportunities you have, whatever golden moments you have, take advantage of it. Because remember, when death comes, that opportunity will not come again. So if each and every one of us, we address ourselves, and I address myself and say that this Ramadan that has come to me, this golden opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me, what if this is the last Ramadan that I will have in my life? So then a person will look at and he will take advantage of every second and every moment. So as Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullah alayhi says in his couplets, he says, tu baraye bandagi hai yaad rakh, bahre sar af gandagi hai yaad rakh, warna phir sharm mindagi hai yaad rakh, chand roza zindagi hai yaad rakh. He says that remember, you have been created for the abdiyat, for the servitude, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, lower yourself, lower your head, submit yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you will not do this, then remember that embarrassment and shame awaits for you later on. And remember that this life is merely a few days. So he says that, tu barai bandagi hai yaad rakh. This again is derived from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That the gist of the ayah is that I have not created man, the whole creation, mankind and jinn, have been created for the servitude, for the obedience and for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful incident which we have heard so many times from him. He gives the example of if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Khaja Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, he purchased a servant. And he asked the servant that what would you like to wear? And the servant said that whatever you give me to wear, that is what I will wear. He said, what food would you like to have? He said, whatever food you give me, that is what the food that I will have. And so on, he went on, you know, asking him different questions, what would you desire with regards to this and this. And continuously the slave continued answering that whatever you desire for me, that is what I have. So he says, do you not have any desire? So he said, I am a slave. And you are the master. Therefore, whatever the master desires for me, that is what I want. So he says that this slave has taught me such a valuable lesson that as a slave he realized who his master was. And he said that whatever the master desires for the slave, that is what the slave will do. So he says in the same way, we are all the ibad, we are the abd of Allah. Each and every one will say that I am the abd, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do, that is what I will do. He will have complete servitude and he will submit himself to every command and every hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, he will say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed you, as he encouraged you to do, then you will do that. And whatever he has, you know, discouraged you from doing, then you will abstain from that. Complete servitude you will bring into your life. If you will not do this, then remember, in the after, there will be shame, there will be regret, there will be remorse. Because remember, this life is merely a few days. And we hear those couplets from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, that strange is the visa of life. It can be cancelled at any time, and the duration of its validity is unknown, and a person can never extend this life. And then he draws an analogy. He says, if you go to a shop, you buy a food item, whatever it is, then always you will find the expiry date on that particular item. But he says, there at least you know that this particular, you know, milk or whatever it is, when it's going to expire. But he said, life is such a thing. We all know there is an expiry date, but no person knows when this expiry date is. Therefore, a person has to be ever ready. So therefore, inshallah, over the next few days, we will continue with this. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to continuously be prepared for our death. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As I mentioned previously, we will discuss a biography of one Sahabi, inshallah. Sahaba were shining stars. Whichever one of them we follow, we will be guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed them jannat. Allah said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah was pleased with them. They lived a life of piety, taqwa. Their hearts were pure, clean. We mentioned this incident many times before to show the purity of the hearts of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. The two Sahaba go, Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala'an and Abdullah bin Rawaha, Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala'an. And Salman Farsi wants to propose for a certain girl, certain family. So he sent the other Sahabi inside. He says, go and put the proposal. I'll wait outside. So he goes in. He says, I brought a proposal from Salman who's waiting outside. He wishes to marry your daughter. He says, Amma Salman Fala, we're not interested in Salman. He's very old. But if you're interested, we are very interested in you. So in the rush of everything, this poor Sahabi accepted. He gets proposed inside. After some time he comes out and Salman is waiting now for the good news. He says, what news have you brought? He says, I'm feeling embarrassed and ashamed. He says, what's the problem? He says, you sent me inside to get you proposed and these people were not interested in you, but they got me proposed to their daughter. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says that I should be ashamed of myself that I even contemplate proposing for a girl whom Allah has already decreed for you. Purity of the hearts. They had no malice whatsoever. He accepted. We can go on talk about our ills and wrongs, but let us take a cue from the Sahaba. And as we read about Sahaba, wallah, you will begin to love the Sahaba. When you love the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'een, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. Because they sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night. For most of them. For many of them. They observed and watched every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved him very dearly. They loved him so much that Thawban radiallahu ta'ala an, one day he begins to cry. He said, why are you crying, Thawban? He says, Ya Rasulullah, we watch you in the masjid, we watch your beautiful face. The thought has passed my mind now. When you will be no more with us, what are we going to do? And in the akhirat, you'll get jannat, you guaranteed. We don't know what's our condition. And even if we also get jannat, but you will be jannatul firdaus, they won't be able to see you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent because no wahi came down. Until the verses came, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. وَاللَّهُ promises that those people who obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam in Jannah. They will be with the messengers. They will be with the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the pious ones. And therefore, Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, that the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hadith, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah, or in the Akhirat, a person will be with that person, whom he loved very dearly in this world. Whom he loved so much in this world. Even though we may have not even met those people. Because the hadith say, وَلَمَّا يَلْحَقْ بِهِمْ. Ya Rasulullah, we love a group of people, we didn't see them. Like how you and I, we love the Sahaba, we have not seen them. But because of this true love for Sahaba, Allah will make us be with them on the day of Qiyamah. Anas radiallahu anhu says, after Islam, there was no occasion in our life that gave us more joy than that day when we heard this. Because all the time, the mind, the worry, the concern was to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, inshallah, we do an Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. I just chose this random, this. We could have started from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Obviously, he deserves to be spoken about first. The entire ummah, his rank is number one after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because generally we hear quite about Khulafa'i Rashidun, I decided to speak on another Sahabi, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Before Islam, he was a shepherd. Kana yar'al ghanam. And there's an incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they are going on a journey and suddenly they are very thirsty, they have no milk. So they see this flock of sheep or the goats, and they see the shepherd who is Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah is his name. Son of Mas'ud, known as Ibn Ummu Abd. Son of Ummu Abd. He's known as Abdullah. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks him, give us some milk from one of your goats. He says, no. He was not a Muslim, but he was very honest, trustworthy. He was actually a slave of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt. Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt was an enemy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The same culprit who was choking Rasulullah once with his shawl, and he was the same person who threw the intestine of the camel on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was a shepherd. He said, no, I cannot give you. It belongs to my master, it doesn't belong to me. And then Nabi said, okay, give us such a goat that cannot give any milk whatsoever. So he brought one very thin and lean goat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his mubarak hands on the udder of this goat, took the name of Allah, and suddenly it started giving so much of milk that Rasulullah drank from there and Abu Bakr Siddiq also drank from there. Then Nabi addressed his goat and the others of the goat and said, now you must go back or contract. This youngster Abdullah was astonished. He said, please teach me the words that you have just recited. Because he saw a miracle. Nabi smiles at him, and he says, إِنَّكَ غُلَيِّمْ مُعَلَّمْ. You're a young boy who will be educated in the future. You'll be taught. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll see exactly in the life of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a time comes when Allah gives him such knowledge of Quran and Hadith, and especially Quran. He became a master in the Quran, in science of Quran, recitation of the Quran that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba, if you want to recite the Quran ghaddan, fresh as it was being revealed, then recite like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. If you want to learn the Quran, he gave four Sahaba's name. And among those four was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu used to say that after I heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I loved Abdullah ibn Mas'ud even more dearly. So his position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was very lofty. Once he is seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and another five sahaba, poor, downtrodden, simple sahaba. The mushrikeen come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, utrud ha'ula. Chase these poor ones away from you. Otherwise, we're not going to listen to your message. As long as they're sitting by you, we are not going to listen to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously, he was rahmatul alameen. And we mentioned previously, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. He worried so much that every person must get iman and be safe from Jahannam. So he was still contemplating on how he is going to speak to these mushrikeen, and perhaps he'll tell his close sahaba that I will see you later on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately sends the ayat, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not chase these poor sahaba away. They are supplicating, they are taking the name of Allah morning and evening. They are making dua to Allah. Don't send these sahaba away. So this was the position of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once he is climbing a tree, scholars have mentioned that he was very short in stature, very thin, absolutely thin. So as he was climbing the tree, it was windy, his shin or his calves became exposed. So the other sahaba saw him so skinny, they began to laugh. Natural. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the sahaba, what are you laughing about? Mimma tadhakun. He said, Ya Rasulullah, look at the saq, the pindli, the shin, or the calves, the tiny thin legs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Nabi Sallallahu said, Allah's qasam, these legs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an will be more weightier than the mount of Uhud on the day of Qiyamah. Such was his maqam, position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the sixth person to accept Islam. So you can imagine the sacrifices, the trials, the tribulations he had to undergo. Forerunners of Islam, was-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, Allah praises them in the Quran because they had to go through extra difficulties at a time when Islam could not be proclaimed publicly. They could not perform salat or recite Quran openly. One day sahaba was seated there and they thought to themselves, why don't today somebody go and recite the Quran aloud to the non-Muslims? Who will do it? So Abdullah bin Mas'ud volunteered. They said, no, you've got no family member to protect you in case something happens. He said, no, I will do it. He goes in the assembly of the mushrikeen and he recites, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir raheem, ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan. He recites a few verses and the mushrikeen come and they beat him up so badly. Abdullah bin Mas'ud is bleeding. In one kitab I read, Abu Jahl takes him by his ear and smacks him so hard that his ears tear open. He's bleeding. He comes back to sahaba who see him in this condition. Didn't we warn you? We told you this will happen to you. He says, Allah's qasam, if you tell me to do it again tomorrow, I'm prepared to do it. They say, no, we have achieved what we were trying to achieve. You have read the Quran aloud, that is sufficient. He always stayed in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the time he accepted Islam, all the time with Rasulullah, day and night. To such an extent that any new person coming to the fold of Islam would think that Abdullah bin Mas'ud was part of the Ahlul Bayt. They thought that he was part of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sam gave him special permission. Abdullah, whenever you wish to come in, you got full permission to come into my house. Obviously, if Nabi Sam was busy, then he would not enter. Otherwise, Abdullah bin Mas'ud had full permission to enter in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he wished. So Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala says that myself and my brother, we came from Yemen. In the beginning, we should think that Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is in and out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thought him to be part of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Badr, we find that Abu Jahl was killed by two youngsters, Mu'adh and Mu'awidh, son of Afra. It's a long story, but how they get him down from the horse. The horse is killed and they manage to attack Abu Jahl. But the finishing touches is done by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who severs the head of Abu Jahl. And therefore Rasulullah SAW, when he gave the booty, and he shared the booty, then these three people were given specifically for killing Abu Jahl. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he understood Allah giving profound knowledge of the Quran in Majid. And he says himself, Wallah, Sahabi won't take qasam for no reason. We take Wallah, Billah, Tallah, qasam whole day and night for anything. He says, Wallah, الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنَا أَعْلَمُ أَيْنَ أُنزِلَتْ وَلَا أُنزِلَتْ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنَا أَعْلَمُ فِي مَنْ أُنزِلَتْ. He says, Allah's qasam, any surah or ayah that came down, I know exactly where it was revealed, for who it was revealed, what was the reason for it being revealed. وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَحَدًا أَعْلَمَ مِنِّي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَبْلُغُ الْإِبِلْ لَرَكِبْتُ إِلَيْهِ. If I have to come to know of any other person who knows a little bit more than what I know regarding any verse of the Quran, and it is possible for me to even take a long journey and ride a camel and go to that person, I will do so to achieve even that one ayat from the person, or knowledge or tafsir of that one ayat. These were Sahaba Ikram. They would undertake those long journeys just to learn one ayat. The incidents of a Sahabi who leaves his house in a hot sun, he travels a long journey, miles upon miles. He goes to the other Sahabi's house, finds that he is resting, so he waits on his doorstep. After a few hours go past, and when the Sahabi comes out for salat or for some work, finds this Sahabi waiting there, what are you doing here? He says, I came to just verify, did you hear this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding this verse? He says, yes. Why did you take such a long journey and come? Why didn't you wake me up? He says, no. All I came is for this purpose. I've achieved this purpose. I'm going back. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam once tells Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he says, اقرأ علي القرآن. Listen very carefully. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's telling this Sahabi of his, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, oh Abdullah, you recite Quran to me. Normally, Nabi Salam would recite. He says, Ya Rasul, I must read to you when Quran was revealed to you. He says, yes, I also love to listen to Quran being recited from somebody else. So he's reciting and listening. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud started. He read Surah An-Nisa from the beginning. And as he came to the ayat, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, Rasulullah began to cry, حَسْبُكْ حَسْبُكْ, enough, enough. This ayat, if we start the tafsir, wallah, whole night will take us, because it talks about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becoming a witness on the day of Qiyamah upon all the ummats, that every Nabi had conveyed his message. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also have to bear witness upon his ummah, whom he cried for day and night that they must be saved from the fire of Jahannam and they can gain Jannat. But those who fail to listen to him, now the Nabi of Allah has to come forward. Ya Allah, I gave them the message. What was his khawf, or what was his humility? His humility, his tawadu. He says, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ مِنْ نَفْسِي. He would address the people, his pupils and his friends. He says, only if you people know what I know about myself, لَحَثَيْتُمْ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِيَ تُرَابٍ, then you'll take sand and you'll throw sand on my head. Because you do not know my haqiqa. This was his tawadu, his humility. He would regard himself to be so inferior, so low, so weak, no pride whatsoever. Despite the fact that they were guaranteed Jannat, Allah was happy with them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, he was happy with them. But this does not mean that they had showed pride and arrogance. And he said, you would throw sand over me if you really know what my haqiqat is. The love they had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu left this world. Sahaba loved him so much. So much they loved him. That Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is an ustad, is a muallim, he's got students teaching them hadith. So one sahabi, or one tabi'i says, Amr bin Maymun, he says, I spent some time with Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Whenever he would say, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ, he would shiver. He would shake when he take the name of Rasulullah, and that love he had. He would tremble. This was his condition. Therefore, Umar radiallahu anhu would call him Kunayfun Muli'a Ilman. He's a little cave, because he was small in built. He says he was a cave full of knowledge. From amongst the advices he gave, there are so many. I just mentioned one pertaining to us and Ramadan, our life in this world. He says, "Ma minkum illa daif." Each one of you is a guest. We all are mehman in this world. وَمَا لُهُ عَارِيَةٌ. Whatever we possess, it is actually belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has lent it to us. It is a loan given to us. So, guest and loan. He says, what happens? فَالضَّيْفُ مُرْتَحِلٌ. A mehman doesn't stay whole life in our house. 1 or 2 days, and then he goes away. Like that, we have to leave this world. And the loan, the money that we took from some person, we borrowed, we have to give it back. وَالْعَارِيَةُ مُؤَدَّاتٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And we have to give back this loan back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the possessions when we leave this world, we cannot take anything with us. The last incident about Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he is very sick, almost passing away. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, his Amirul Mu'mineen, he comes and visits him. Uthman says, "Ma tashtaki, what's the problem? What you suffering from? What's the illness? What's the sickness like?" What answer does he give? He says, "Dhunubi, my sins. It is my sins." So he says, "What do you require? What can I get for you? What do you desire right now?" He says, "Rahmat Rabbi, I want the mercy of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He says, "Should I get you a doctor? Should I get you a tabib?" He says, "At-tabibu amradani." He's a doctor, meaning Allah. He's giving me the sickness. So there's no need for you to call any other doctor. He says, "Should I give you some stipends, some monies?" He says, "No, I don't need it. La hajat li fi. I don't require it. I'm going, leaving this world." "What about your daughters?" He had daughters. "What about them? They will use it." He said, "Oh Uthman, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that whoever recites Surah Waqia every night, Allah won't make him taste poverty. He won't suffer poverty. I've taught my daughters to recite Surah Waqia, and I have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will never make them poor in this world." Now these are lessons for you and I. Such beautiful lessons and teachings. May Allah fill our hearts with the love of Sahaba, love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll just make a very short dua now. We had a long dua, we had a long night, we have another session also. Inshallah, we have on the program Tahajjud Salat. We will engage in Tahajjud Salat, inshallah, some tasbihat and dhikr, but this is not compulsory. We have sat here for some time. Brothers can relax, you can go home, you can rest. You can make your individual ibadat now, you can cry and beg. Each person got his own worries, their own things that he wants to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who wish to remain can engage in ibadat, but silent ibadat. Approximately 12 o'clock, we hope to have some tahajjud, inshallah. Some brothers can make individual tahajjud. There may be a few people reciting here and there. You can just join them, but the idea is to read our tahajjud and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tahajjud is so blessed, inshallah. One of the nights will give the virtues of tahajjud. Now, this is the place where we will train ourselves and get tahajjud in our lives. Tahajjud was da'bu saliheen. The custom and the practice of all the pious people. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajmain had the salient quality of tahajjud. In the time of sihri, they would make istighfar and cry. So we'll try and imitate and resemble them in some way, inshallah. As I mentioned, we are weak, 2 rakats, 4 rakats, 6 rakats, whatever we can read. But important thing is, ikhlas, sincerity, it is banda and his mawla, and we'll beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يا الله accept the درود والصلاة وريد upon نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله accept the talk we had on مراقبة of موت. يا الله make us remember موت in excess and abundance. يا الله. يا الله one day موت is going to come to us. Let us prepare for موت before it come to us. يا الله. Ya Allah, we read about Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Make the love of Sahaba come into our hearts, Ya Allah. Make the love of Rasulullah come into our hearts, Ya Allah. Make your love and Muhammad come into our hearts, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا حبك. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إني أسألك بأنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا عبيدك بنو عبيدك بنو إمائك، نواصينا بيدك، ماض فينا حكمك، حظ فينا قضاؤك. نسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك، أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم. Oh my most beloved Allah, these brothers have sat so patiently, my Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, do not make us leave this majlis and gathering without being forgiven, Ya Allah. Make that angel announce that قُومُوا مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ, stand up in the condition that all your sins are completely wiped out, obliterated and forgiven. Ya Allah, bless us with Laylatul Qadr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with Laylatul Qadr, Ya Allah. Give us Laylatul Qadr, Ya Allah. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna ya kareem. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna ya kareem. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. والله save us from the عذاب of the قبر, the fire of جهنم. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أعتق رقابنا من النار. الله save us, our parents, our wives, our children, our grandparents, our families, our uncles, our aunts, يا الله our relatives, our friends, يا الله all our مشايخ, يا الله علماء, all our students, يا الله, Ya Allah, all the entire Muslim Ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the believing men, the believing women, Ya Allah. Muslimin, Muslimat, Ya Allah. Wherever they may be, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire Ummah of Nabiya Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wherever the Ummah is parishan, Ya Allah. He is war and famine and this drought. Masum children are losing their lives, Ya Allah. Whilst we are enjoying such beautiful, such lovely food on the Dasturkhan in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, there are so many countries and so many places in the world. They don't even have a decent meal to have. They don't even have a day to have, Ya, to eat, Ya Allah. There's no water, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, say, shower your rahmat and maghfirat and your karam. Ya Allah, give us honor and izzat and dignity, my Allah. Protect us from nifaq and shirk and kufr. Don't make us fight and quarrel in this month of Ramadan. Do not make us harbor any malice and bicker and fight over small petty issues, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, help us to fulfill the rights of our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. And huququl ibad, help us to fulfill the next person's rights, oh my Allah. If we owe any person, Ya Allah, anything, help us, Allah, give us a tawfiq and hidayah to give him back whatever is due to him. Ya Allah, if we have cheated or we have slandered or we have done any wrong, help us to have the courage and ask the person for forgiveness, my Allah. Ya Allah, children are not talking to their parents, Ya Allah. Parents are not in talking terms with their children, Ya Allah. Husband and wife, Ya Allah, in the month of Ramadan, last few nights, Mubarak nights, Ya Allah, marriages on rocks, Ya Allah. There is divorce taking place, Ya Allah. There is zina taking place, and Ya Allah, people are taking sharab, Ya Allah. People are taking drugs and alcohol. Oh, may Allah give us hidayat. Give the ummah hidayat. Give us hidayat. Give us afiyat. Give us a rahmat. Ya Allah, we have got such a long list to ask from you. You are azeeb, you are great. A great person, Ya Allah. We ask you for great things, oh, may Allah. Give us jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Make our road to Jannah be easy for us. Make it be so easy, Allah. Make the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come into our lives, Ya Allah. Give us the taqwa. Ya Allah, taqwa we hear about Ramadan. The object of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Give us the taqwa. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wa al-tuqa والعفاف والغنى. Help us with this chaste life, to live chaste and pious and pure lives. Make us from your awliya kamilin siddiqeen, from your muqarrabeen, from your close friends, ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu al alim. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. سلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.